episode 41 of Drunk on Comics. When life hands you lemons, bust out the tequila and salt.
I was thinking vodka.
Ew, vodka's gross.
Vodka's delicious.
But tequila's delicious.
Fuck that Grey Goose shit.
It's all French.
But I swear to God, though, by the time I'm doing tequila, it's way too fucking late. I shouldn't be doing anything.
See, so many people have tequila stories of how it's a bad idea. Like, that's what I start with. I like tequila. It's good.
As long as it's not El Toro.
Well, that's that's a problem. Most of that shit ain't real tequila. Well, yeah. 100% tequila is expensive, so they water it down, and it's shit.
I had no idea that tequila is made from cactuses.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I didn't know that either.
It's agave, and agave is a cactus.
Oh, I knew it was agave. I didn't know that was a cactus.
Yeah.
Do you know,
isn't that cool?
Do you know something else that a lot of people don't know? This is Drunk on Comics, our podcast. Yay! Woo! So, welcome, everybody. Shut up.
Nice segue.
Yeah. This is our podcast about comic books, conventions, other geekly gobs of fun.
Gobs, that's cooler.
Yeah. No nerdly nuggets.
No. Wait, did you say geeky gobs?
Geeky gobs of
yes,
fun.
Yes, that's right.
That worked.
Yeah.
So, welcome. We've got myself, Derek. We also have Matt.
Hello.
We have Kevin.
Greetings.
And we have Tony. Hello.
At the helm. We also have a special guest this week. Jim the intern is here. Some of you might know him as artist Jim Toe, but he doesn't really get to talk much. But you can say hi.
Hello.
That's a very good intern voice. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. So Jim's here basically to get us beer and that's about it. So,
and laugh at our jokes.
Yeah.
Do give us high fives.
Yeah.
All right,
we're going to kick this off with Off the Shelf.
Yep, once again, Off the Shelf is brought to you by Motor City Comic Con, happening May 17th through the 19th at the Suburban Collection Showplace in Novi, Michigan. You can check out MotorCityComicCon.com. Go on there, look at all their awesome guests, which we are one of.
Yay!
Also, Jim the Intern is a guest.
Yay!
Yeah.
It's coming back, man.
Yeah.
Your boy's coming back to TV.
Why do you say my boy?
Your boy, man. You're the reason why he's coming back on here. You've been asking about him.
I have?
Absolutely.
No, I asked where did that dude go that has an upside down triangle for a head. I didn't ask anything more than that. So, all right, guys, we got a warning.
We're going to spoil these books,
yes.
Which means that we are likely to give away endings or really important plot points. So you might want to stop and read the books before. Unless you really like to know the ending of a book and then you go back to the beginning. I mean, that's how most comic books are told anyways these days. Here's the ending. Now we'll tell you how we got there.
I enjoyed last week when we didn't say spoiler alert until like 5 minutes before we did the podcast.
We may have been drunk. So, all right, who wants to kick it off?
I'm going to kick it off here with The Age of Ultron from Brian Michael Bendis. Pencils by Brian Hitch, inker Paul Neary, and Paul Mounts for colors. Good book. Highly anticipated. As you know, they've been teasing Ultron coming back. I love their little teaser trailer where the binomial code actually says, like, Age of Ultron, that's nerdy and awesome.
I gotta admit, now I haven't read this. The cover on that was gorgeous, and the thing that really stuck out, besides the fact that it's the foil,
mm-hmm.
but Hawkeye and the reflection in the helmet was fucking sweet.
Yeah,
it was a nice touch.
What are you talking about? This cover's really awesome.
yes!
The chibi bubbles, whatever we're calling
it. All right, so
you got that cover over the fucking foil cover?
Yeah.
Tony bought comics this week, otherwise I would have bought Young variant cover has Ultron beating up all the Scott Young.
Yes.
Scott Young.
Very wise.
The baby variant.
But
I just don't get it.
The foily cover, the pretty foily one, is by Hitch, Neary, and Mounts, the same guys who are doing the interior art. So let me kick this off by saying this totally spoils the story because it says New York City today. And yet, I'm confused because I didn't know Ultron already took over today. We're already in the dystopian future where Ultron reigns supreme.
If you watched TV, you'd probably know that.
Oh,
You know, because like, the news would tell you what's going on today.
Yeah, oh. I saw last night on Channel 10 Ultron took over, man.
Son of a...
There's actually a show all about that.
Do I have to get rid of my cell phone now?
It's called Today. Anyway, keep going.
All right, this book, it primarily focuses on Hawkeye, hence the reason he's in the foily reflection on the cover.
Yeah, he's the only one on the cover that doesn't have his ass beat.
He's going after to break Spider-Man out, who was captured by some thugs, Hammerhead and Owlsley. But he had left all the normal heroes who, when he gets back to him, they're like, no, you can't come back in, because if you left, you're going to leave. And he's like, no, dude, I'm going to be a hero still. You guys can all crawl into a hole and die, but I'm going to go save Spider-Man. And so he does. But what really, like I said, what really ties this book off is the mystery of how this all started and how they got to this place. And it ends with a really nice picture of Captain America, like, completely defeated. So somehow Ultron rose, got power, but we don't know yet because we're going to have to read more books.
Yeah, so. That's the one thing I was hoping. I was so fucking confused reading it, being like, okay, this is cool. This is kind of action-y. How the fuck did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they're going to have to allude to it later.
And see, I'm really looking forward to how that happened. Because, ooh, another dystopian future where everything is shit and the heroes are outnumbered by an unstoppable force. I'm like, yeah, I've read that a lot of times in comics. The journey to get there is what I'm really looking forward to.
So is this the first appearance of Ultron in a Marvel title in a long while?
Kinda. They did Conquest, which was a... space thing where Ultron basically is taking over because he gets the phalanx.
Yeah, that's still about five.
There's still about 5 years ago.
He partly came back. Skrull invasion.
Skrull invasion. Secret invasion. The Mighty Avengers.
Yeah.
The Mighty Avengers. There was a brief. I think that was actually right before he went to space, though. But the last time when we saw him was when he came back to Earth after the Conquest, which was in the Avengers annuals 2 years ago. I want to say almost. Maybe it was 1 year ago.
And there was the Age of Ultron free comic book day thing last year, too.
Okay. Well, that was the Avengers Annuals, that free comic that they gave.
I thought that was a brand new story.
It was tying in how Ultron got back, and the heroes going, oh, crap, Ultron's back. And then he disappeared, probably so he could build all these Ultron bots and take over the world.
I'm just disappointed that Marvel didn't write a new story for free comic book day.
That would cost them money, though.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to. I want to have repercussions happen from this book. They've been building it up that if it's one of those, just well, it's just the future, so we'll stop it by stepping on this butterfly, and it won't flap its wings, so that future won't happen. Kind of a letdown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you guys gonna pick up all the other issues related to Age of Ultron?
Most likely. At least most of them.
Yeah, you know, I read this too, and I tell you, this is the Marvel title I've been looking for. And I've been struggling to find one, whether it's Marvel, or Marvel's Venom, or Marvel's Captain Marvel.
I thought you liked Captain Marvel.
It was good, but I mean, it didn't, I think this did a
it
lot.
It did get you happy.
This All right. got me wanting the next issue.
Good, because as friends here, you pick up some of the issues, we'll pick up some of the issues, and we'll save some money. And that's a tip for you. It's free.
Yeah.
But it's going to be valuable someday.
Otherwise known as the Brothers McCheapy way of buying comics.
Yeah, I noticed. Well, sure. I saw there was a $50 very cover for this. Yeah, right, all right.
How could you get better than the fucking foil cover, man?
There was one. It was one of the $15 variants that I saw that had Hawkeye in front, and I don't remember who fucking drew it. It was gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. But like he's walking, he's got like three arrows poking through his fingers. You know, very Wolverine-esque, but it was sweet. So, all right, cool. Well, I am going to talk about All New X-Men number 8 from Marvel. Written by Brian Michael Bendis, art by David Martez, colors by Marty Gracia, and letters by Corey Petit. So if you haven't been reading this, or if you're listening to us, or if you haven't been on the internet this year, which if you haven't, I don't know how the fuck you're really listening to us at this point now, but whatever. The original X-Men have been brought back from the past to today's time.
When?
From, yeah.
I just started listening.
Well, yeah.
The days of present past.
Yes. The gifts of Father Christmas. What? So
Tomorrowland.
Now, for the record, because I know that you fuckers are going to bring it up, they didn't bring Jean Grey back from the dead. They brought her back from the past, so I can still buy this comic. So piss off. So this book basically follows current and original Angel as they're fighting off Hydra to protect Avengers Tower. And original Angel is trying to figure out how current Angel has become the person he is now.
Yeah, and like past Angel is like, what? How did I become so bad? And I think current Angel's pretty cool.
And current Angel's like, oh, just come along. Ha ha ha.
He's like the dude. He just is abiding. And
well, he's got
like,
the razor wings and the healing power.
And he goes batshit crazy and kills a bunch of things. But in the meantime, he's like, dude, it's fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun just in the general. But hands down, best part of the story is after Cap finds out that original... what's your problem?
I love this part of the story.
Yeah, so Cap finds out that the original X-Men are back in current time. And he comes over and he's bitching at current Beast. And Kitty Pryde and Iceman are mocking the two of them, basically just going, well, I think they're... How do you think this conversation's going? And... Matt, you've got it open there.
My favorite part is towards the end, and Iceman says, Hank, mocking Captain America, Hank, so help me, if you know where Scott Summers is and you're not telling us, dear Captain, if I knew where Scott Summers was. And then they cut just a couple lines later as Cyclops walks up to him. You hear Captain America says, and if I find out that you know where...
It's awesome because like their whole conversation, it's at least a page. I don't remember. I don't have it open in front of me. But it's at least a page, and... They basically get the whole point of what Cap's saying, but it's so much fun. It's great writing.
Yeah, much more fun listening to those two say the same thing.
Yeah, just mocking, like, you know.
I'm just going to start reading mocking voices in what you just did, Matt.
Oh, but no, Beast, I can't do that. Yeah, so now, ultimately the story ends with Jean Grey saying that the original X-Men are going to stay in the present. Which, Tony, I know you've been wanting that to happen for a long time.
Well, they took the vote to stay, and so it sounded like a couple issues back they made the determining fact that they're going to stay, but Angel wanted to go back in the past because he doesn't like who he became.
Yeah, he's terrified.
And Jean did a Jedi
mind meld.
Yeah.
As President Obama says.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President, for not knowing your nerdisms.
I'm sure he just got his wires crossed.
So, now, I do have to say the art was solid in this book, but more so the panel layouts were amazing on it, especially the side-by-side pages with the two angels in the midst of the attack on Avengers Tower, where you have old Angel on the left hand side, and you have new Angel on the right hand side, and it just kind of shows like the differences and how they're new Angel's all happy and smiley, you know, and the juxtaposition of old Angel looking terrified. But yeah.
I did not like Jean Grey's new haircut at the end.
It definitely was
old fashioned.
Yeah.
I just
fit the time.
Wait, I did not notice this.
My favorite part is that Jean is just kind of like, I can all read your minds. Don't worry, I'm under control. I'm sorry, I can do it in her voice. I can all read your minds. No, I just like though that like she basically just abused her powers. But everyone's kind of like, is she going Dark Phoenix already? Which she can't because there's no Phoenix Force.
Yeah, no more Phoenix.
Unless she's got the Phoenix with her, and that's...
Did she bring the Phoenix to her past?
Is the Phoenix going to come back?
No, because the Phoenix wouldn't have been in her at this time point anyway, so...
I'm just saying how the Phoenix Force is going to come back. Because you know it can't stay dead. It's all about birth and rebirth.
Well, that's why there's all these new mutants.
That's true.
Yeah. So, all right. Anyway, the fantastic comic. And I do have to say, I think that this book has the heart and feel of the classic X-Men stories that we all grew up with and loved.
It surprised me that I like it so much.
Yeah. Two mugs up. Cheers. Tony, what you got?
I got Age of Apocalypse number 13.
Full Marvel again this week.
Yeah.
Lots of ages, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
it's a coming-of-age story.
Actually, this is a coming-of-age story. It's an Age of Apocalypse coming-of-age...
Peace?
Yeah.
Who's it by?
It's by David Laugham. Artists are Renato Arlem and Valentine de Landro. Colorist Lee Lufridge.
Lufridge?
Not Lufridge. Oh, yeah, it would be Lufridge. Cover artist Greg Land, which is pretty badass cover.
Yeah, that is nice.
So this whole story, first off, listeners, Age of Apocalypse, when that first originally came out, is the reason why I started buying comic books. I was like, this seems sweet. I want to buy it. And I got the whole series. That was one of the most well-made story arcs that Marvel has had, that they kept that universe around and even went back to it 10 years later to re-explore it and see what's been going on. And they've had other people like Exiles hop through that universe a couple times. And they came out with this new book to kind of explain, you know, what's going on with that, which kind of started off of, what wasn't it, X-Force?
Yeah.
The last version of Uncanny X-Force started Age of Apocalypse?
The new...
Yeah, because that's how they got Age of Apocalypse Nightcrawler in their
game.
And when Weapon Omega got the Apocalypse seed.
Yeah, pretty much Wolverine got the Apocalypse seed. He's new Apocalypse in Age of Apocalypse universe. What has happened in the pages, to kind of explain what
issues
this...
Issues, like, 1 through 12.
Yeah. Weapon Omega has pretty much been depowered. They got rid of the Apocalypse seed, and now it's in a canister. And humans are slowly kind of working with mutant, coming back to form a society. They're not being put in breeding pens anymore. They're not the... Well, they're still the minority, but it seems like there's going to be better relationships. So this whole... really apocalyptic world now becoming a little more good. However, Nightcrawler, who is from that world, is in the 616 universe. He doesn't know what's going on over there. He just has come back for revenge. And now, after turning his back on the last version of X-Force, he wants to go back home. He got his revenge on the Blob. Wasn't there someone else that he killed?
I think it was just the Blob.
Okay, yeah, because he killed his wife.
Yeah. I don't remember him killing anybody else off the top of my head.
And I'm sad to see this Kurt go, because I like that it's a vengeful, swashbuckling elf who can teleport. Like, the old Nightcrawler was a peaceful, you know, pacifist that had to do stuff. This one peaceful is kind
pacifist.
Of like...
Peaceful pacifist.
It's kind repetitively of, redundant.
Yeah. kind of like a warmongering soldier.
So, at the beginning, this thing starts off in the normal Marvel universe where the current Nightcrawler is with Mystique, right after them leaving the old X-Force.
That picks up right then?
Well, kind of. It's him kind of talking to her about what he just did.
I didn't know Mystique was in charge of the Hand.
Yes. She what? Is. Mystique's in charge of the Hand.
The ninjas?
Currently right now? Yeah. Wow. Kingpin's pissed off about that. But yeah. that's to delve in later.
A lot of things happening
I
here.
Learned stuff today.
Ultimately...
I just learned there was an Age of Apocalypse.
the book end of this series shows Kurt finding Dark Beast in the normal Marvel universe. Dark Beast is... All these cool characters from the Age of Apocalypse who've been kind of primarily background bad guy characters in the regular Marvel universe... Seems to be maybe, you know, going the other way, and they're getting him out of the way. But he pretty much said, find me a way back home.
So this is the lead up to that X-Termination, isn't it?
Yes. And that's going to run the Astonishing X-Men, Age of Apocalypse, and Extreme X-Men, which is that weird
other X-Men. I think Extreme X-Men is ending.
Yes, yeah. And well, Age of Apocalypse is ending too. So
oh, yeah.
This is actually killing off two books. So
what... What I love about Dark Beast being at the end, though, is that Dark Beast was in the 616 universe for a long time, and then he found a way back to his universe.
Yeah.
And then he was in the Age of Apocalypse comic for a while, but then when Apocalypse when Weapon Omega got overthrown, he gets himself back to the 616 universe. So that's I really like that tie-in that he's always looking out for his own self.
Yeah. So I'm sad to see like. Them killing off the Age of Apocalypse world, but the world isn't even been what it was originally when I read it. I'm sad to see Nightcrawler, which we barely got to know the new one in the Marvel Universe, leaving, and ultimately, the story looks like it's going to be badass, especially since this preview right here, this little shot, Wolverine and Nightcrawler battling it out, looks like it could be a fun book to be had. So can't wait till the next one comes out.
So cool. Is this a tie-in at all to Age of Ultron, or is this a different world?
This is a different world.
Oh, okay.
Now, the Age of Apocalypse started because Xavier's son Legion went back in time.
He has a son?
Yes. to kill damn. Magneto. Xavier actually pushes Magneto out of the way, and Xavier gets killed. So if Xavier never made the X-Men, Apocalypse would have taken over. And so the Age of Apocalypse is that apocalyptic world. They even used the pun when Weapon Omega's gone in the post-apocalyptic piece. And I was like, that's kind of weird. All right, anyways, Kevin, what do you got this week?
Well, Kevin is...
To be honest with you, I was down at Derek's comic book shop on the other side of the state.
Awesome, isn't it?
That's just a wonderful comic book store compared to the dump that I'm forced to go to every week. Covers flipped over on the floor. Yes, stand like the DC comics are. You have to stand on top of the hot air duct. So it's still cold where we are, and you're wearing your winter coat, so you're standing right there, sweating your balls off looking at titles. Anyways, honestly, guys, I picked up a bunch of titles, and Age of Ultron was the thing that really blew my doors off. I mean, I'll give a quick shout out to Superman Family Adventures, though.
Nice.
It is, seriously, this is... brings a smile on my face every time.
No, that was, what does Zod time. Mean? Superman, it's Zod?
Zod, you know Zod from Superman 2?
Now this is General Matthew Zod? Being dumb now.
Oh, okay.
Most famously known for Superman 2.
Yeah. Okay. General like, Zod?
Now I do.
Yeah, but...
That makes sense now.
It's
all hail Zod.
Drank too much, so... that memory
eluded me. Did you drink away all
the 90s? Or 90s?
Well, considering I was a teenager, yeah.
Well, it's sad to hear that this comic is going away, and so I've been picking up all the back issues. Actually, 10 was a new release, but man, you gotta pick that up. It sounds ridiculous, but
shop has a really nice little kids section of comics.
Oh too. No, this was not this. It was funny is that they do have a little kids section with Sonic and all the other comics.
My Little Pony and
yeah. No, this was right next to the Big Boy comic books.
Really?
Yeah, which was I thought it was very appropriate.
Ironically enough, I also think My Little Pony is often bought by adults more than children. Well,
yeah, that's just creepy. Yeah. But whatever.
No, I dove right into the long box, and actually, before
I love how you're like going, what do I say so they don't
I know, I'll fuck it up no matter what.
So you were box diving.
Okay. Yes, when I resurfaced, actually, I had to pull this one out. I'm not gonna. It was an alternate cover, Daredevil 321.
The Fall from Grace Part 2, I think.
Yeah, where it was a glow-in-the-dark cover. And
nice.
Turn off the lights.
Wait.
Jim the intern, get out of there.
No, you put it underneath your shirt. And
how does Daredevil know when the lights are out, though?
Yeah, I bet you that thing that has no glow-in-the-dark. But I saw this thought of you, you know.
Aww.
Yeah, let's make out later.
I'll take your blog.
Okay. So, actually, for the last couple of weeks, recent conversations about Batman, Superman.
The fact that the whole Batman, Superman, Batman is coming back with Jim Pack is drawing that. And Jim the intern, who's writing that? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't remember. I'm sorry, boss.
No. Well, you guys have had... the last couple episodes we've had made me think about this book, which is, I guess we need to rename the long box segment to DC's Elseworld well, section of the podcast, because yet again I got another DC Elseworld here for you. Now this isn't completely a different, like, where speeding bullets, where you have Superman taking the roles of Batman, or Superman being raised by Ruskies.
I love this cover where it looks that Superman has aged, but Batman... Nope, still the same chin and...
I like the one where, like, okay, there's, like, four pictures.
Yeah.
There's younger, there's slightly more mature, there's definitely way older. but this bottom one...
Yeah.
Like Superman is, like, got his hand up to his face like he's crying, like, oh, Batman caught the worst fart ever.
Well, so, Batman is wearing a Batman mask.
Well, this book right here... For $18, you get 200 pages of pure comic goodness.
Yeah.
The real quick synopsis of it is that this book takes place over 1,000 years, and actually, you guys were poking fun at this. It actually ties together real nicely. Into the story, which actually starts in 1939 with Kal-El, Clark Kent, Superman, and Bruce Wayne. It's an interesting, wonderful take that actually the story is broken up into decades, 39, 49, 59, 69, 79, and they talk about their relationship and other interesting side bits that are side stories. You see them gaining families, children.
Killing off their kids.
Well, and of course, you got... of course, it spans 50 years, and Bruce Wayne, he's mortal. So they talk about his...
All the restraining orders that women have placed on him. And
actually,
yeah, but you know what's great? Like, if women just, you know... put a restraining order on him, he can just go throw them in Arkham and say they're crazy.
But they every decade, they actually, there's almost an homage and a little bit to the period of time. Like, in the 50s, I think they poke fun at Batman from that time where they constantly are saying old chum and
yes.
Things like that, but...
Quite.
It's funny how
bull story,
over 50-60 years they tie.
Did you say bull axe? It's yeah. Bullocks.
It's bollocks.
Bullocks.
No,
depends
no,
where you're at.
Well, no, I did clarify this.
Oh.
We met an Englishman last night at the bar.
Well, yes, but I did clarify this with some of our good British listeners a while back when Tony said bullocks, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's bollocks.
Bollocks.
And yeah, they clarified it is
bullywood.
It is bollocks. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Bully. Yeah.
All right. So.
Belly who? What?
You were saying something, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This is a good book.
Yeah. Oh,
Go get it.
You want a great 200-page read for not a lot of money, because I'm sure you can get this half off trade paperbacks. I don't know how popular or in demand this book is.
What's it called, by the way?
Superman and Batman. Yeah, that's right. you guys jumped right into the fucking... Okay, Superman and Batman Generations.
By?
On an imaginary tale, which is ridiculous.
By John Byrne.
Yeah, John Byrne.
Aren't they all imaginary tales, though?
The entire thing by him.
What are you alluding to here?
All right, let's move on to our next segment, which is new.
Well, it's not new but it's new because it's been our cover of the week segment. And
best cover art.
But we now have a name for it.
We do have a name.
Best cover art. That's good enough.
Yeah.
But even better than that is...
Well... we did a little contest. People had to submit. Got some via email. Got some via Facebook messages. Got quite a few via Twitter. And I kind of took a whole bunch of the ones that were good and threw them out there and let you guys vote on it. And here it is. It is Best on Tap. So congratulations to Ari Carr. She just got herself a custom cover from Mr. J. Shimko.
But I wanted to win the cover.
You don't get to win.
Just have Jay get you, make you a cover.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll doodle something on a cocktail napkin for you. Would that be a good consolation prize?
But just like all good taps, the artistry of the handles is kind of why we make the illusion of, or the connection there towards our drunkenness and our comicness.
Yeah.
So our new segment for judging a book by its cover is now called Best on Tap.
Best on Tap.
This week's winner?
This week's winner, Swamp Thing number 18.
You guys veto me on everything. The name, I thought the foil cover was the coolest.
Yeah, but
you
we talked about the foil cover already.
Yeah, we did.
And so, this is the cover, Yannick Paquette. Just fucking gorgeous art, not to mention the fact that we had a blast being drunk interviewing him. And we're actually looking forward to talking to him again here this May at Motor City.
But what I really like about this cover is it shows that even a disgusting seaweed-drenched mud monster can still find love in this world. Well, so there's still hope for Tony.
Well, and when we talk about
that's the only reason why you picked this cover.
You've been sitting on that son of a bitch since Wednesday. I know it. The one great thing that I like about this, besides the fact that, you know, it gives Tony a chance at love, but we knew, though, like, he has the swamp seed.
Yep.
Tony talked about that a while ago. So, you know, looking to share it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this is a great, like, just perfect example, though. When we were talking to Yannick about how he loves drawing the flora and the fauna, mm-hmm. and how he's so happy about drawing this book because he gets to explore that versus drawing cityscapes all the time. So.
Yeah, I think, you know, Swamp Thing, to me, would be a really difficult book. And so, you know, like I said, I it caught my attention for sure, and I liked it quite a bit. So, cheers.
Yeah, cheers to that one. So, Best on Tap.
All right, next.
News and notes.
Yep.
Tony's
man,
pouty.
You are so pouty right now.
Dude, I'll come up with my own name.
I looked over. I could have put my beer can on your lower lip. It was sticking out so damn far.
Jamie, not allowed to laugh.
Sorry, boss.
All right, news this week.
News and notes brought to you by Intercomics. It's inter-comics.com, your source for all your comic book needs. Online retailer located out of England, which is
Chip
not,
Chip Cheerio.
Which is not bollocks.
Bloody
but,
hell.
But it doesn't matter if you don't live in England because they ship worldwide and their prices are awesome and they have cool blogs and they have lots of other really good shit. So go check them out, inter-comics.com.
You can maybe buy some nerdly nuggets.
You could. You could probably buy some geekly gobs. Yeah. So what do you got for news?
I want to see if Jim's got anything. Anything?
You're putting me on the spot like this.
Hey, you're not allowed to talk that much.
It's over your three-word limit.
All right. Got some DC news that they're announcing the return of Astro City after, I think, about 3 years.
Astro City, is that like Delta City?
Well, Astro City is a superhero world that is completely self-contained. It doesn't cross over into any of the rest of the DC universe. Kurt Busiek has been doing this for years.
Kind of like their Ultimate universe. They're copying Ultimates.
Although they were probably first.
And it has nothing to do with the same characters. So, and these are all self-contained original characters. So that's kind of big news. It's kind of nice to see that coming back. I'm actually going to pick this one up. I'd skimmed issues previously. And so there's that. I got a little bit of Marvel movie news, specifically X-Men. Halle Berry is returning to Storm.
Boo! Boo! Am I the only one? No, I don't like... I wasn't a fan of Halle Berry.
No, right. She's... Yeah. That fucking line about... The toad getting fried by
same
lightning.
Thing that happens to things.
It was the dumbest line in any movie.
But you know that might not be her fault though. It was just her delivery of it had no.
She ruined Storm. She ruined Catwoman. I mean, thank God Hathaway brought it back. But
well, yeah, here's my thinking though. I am 100% on board with it if they bring her back as Mohawk Storm.
I'll take that too. I'd like to see Halle Berry with a mohawk.
Yeah. Now.
I still liked our idea, though, of dressing up Wesley Snipes in drag again.
Yeah.
And putting him in there.
Yeah. Tu Wong Fu.
Yeah, like from Tu Wong Fu. But I think he's still trying to avoid taxes or something. So.
Yeah. I don't know how that works. Also, Wow, that's the
also.
Did your mouth just
this,
fart?
This just in.
Trying to stifle a sneeze, that just didn't work. Omar Sy was hired or cast as A-Roll on the new X-Men
movie. Who's A-Roll?
It's just gonna happen.
But they don't know who's playing, although there is Bishop's going to be in this movie. So is he Bishop? We don't know. So there you go. Tony, what else you got, though?
Well, a lot of shit's been going on with the whole Justice League movie.
Lots and lots of rumors.
Well, rumors, well, scrapping this script for that script. And right now, pretty much it's known that Christopher Nolan is going to be producing it. So he's going to have all his artistic control over this Justice League movie, which I'm not too happy about, in my own honest opinion. I liked what he did with the first two of his Batman movies. Thought his third one kind of fell flat. But I don't see that being the type of cinematic world that these, the super, or, you know, Super Friends, Justice League, all, how they should be about. It should be more of, I hate to say it, but like the Marvel, kind of funny, kind of fun. And in his Nolan, I mean, there's no way it can tie into the Batman movies anyways. And thank God the rumors that they've been saying that Christian Bale might come back to reprise that role. That also just falls flat that you had this huge boy to have him not be Batman in your universe.
Yeah.
And now you would say he just comes back to join this world that somehow has a Superman in it now. So even this is still speculation on what the Justice League movie could happen, even if it does happen, since a lot of shit's riding on the Superman movie and if that makes it or not, which will then definitely greenlight the...
But that's, I mean, but that might be just it, is that given Nolan's other work, it might not look like the hit, that world wouldn't be good for a Justice League movie, but maybe this new Superman one will be. But I still, they're grounding so much of those DC movies in reality.
Like, yeah.
And that's, I think, going to be difficult then to bring that into a universe where fantastical things happen.
And that's what I feel that Nolan's directing is more grounded, more, you know, visually cool and stunning, but not campy, fun, cheesy. You know, I think Zack Snyder would be, you know, a great one to make a comic book movie, which obviously he is right now, but someone of his directorial...
Yeah, but didn't they just say Nolan was going to produce and not direct?
That is true.
So he's...
But he's going to have a lot of say in what, who gets to direct and how it goes. So that's that. Derek, you got anything?
Yeah, got some more on the not as happy news front from DC that Chris Sprouse, the artist on Superman's story that writer Orson Scott Card was penning. Chris Sprouse has decided to leave that book after, you know, all the media backlash for Orson Scott Card and his stance on gay marriage.
Did he give a good reason?
Or? He gave a beautiful statement, and I've got it here. He said, "It took a lot of thought to come to this conclusion, but I've decided to step back as the artist on this story. The media surrounding this story reached the point where it took away from the actual work, and that's something I wasn't comfortable with. My relationship with DC Comics remains as strong as ever, and I look forward to my next project with them." DC actually had a statement as well, saying, "We fully support, understand, and respect Chris's decision to step back from his Adventures of Superman assignment. Chris is a hugely talented artist, and we're excited to work with him on his next DC Comics project. In the meantime, we will resolicit the story at a later date when the new artist is hired." So,
which is gonna be super easy to pick someone someone will want to be part of that media mess.
Yeah,
which is, you know, DC, man, you gotta keep on chugging along. I know there's this huge online petition, whatnot, but it's good. Even though it's not great PR, it's PR, and the comic book division at Warner Brothers could always use a little bit more.
Well, here's some more happy news, probably for more people, that Kevin Smith is going to be doing some secret new project with DC, but nobody knows what. So
I bet it's a comic book.
Why is this supposed to make me happy?
I don't know. Nerds like Kevin Smith.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's because Kevin Smith is shaped like a lot of nerds.
I like Mallrats.
And he's got a hot wife, and people are like, I could do that.
And he's somehow got a TV show that's still on.
Is his wife hot?
Oh, yeah. Did you see Jay and Silent Bob?
Oh, yeah. She was the least attractive of three girls. four girls.
Yeah, yeah, she was, but she was still hot. So, got some other news for those of you interested in the Deadpool video game. New trailer's out, and it's fucking sweet.
I definitely go check that out.
Yeah, you can look that up on, I know Comic Book Resources had it, but I'm sure, it's on YouTube. And it's listed as Deadpool, the game's juvenile but awesome trailer. is how they did that.
I definitely want that game so badly. And I'm glad that you have slowly turned into kind of a Deadpool fan.
I would have bought that game regardless because it just looks fun as hell. Some other Marvel news, the adjective-less X-Men, just the new...
The chick team.
X-Men. X-Women.
Is it the X-Women?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, no, X-Women was a one-shot.
Okay.
A while back, but... No, it's been delayed. It's not going to be released until...
Is it delayed because they can't find an adjective?
It's like, hello, thesaurus, bitches. So... Now, it was supposed to be arriving April 17th. It's now going to be released on my birthday, May 29th. So happy birthday to me, motherfuckers.
Yeah. Because
it's all mine.
What if they bring back Jean Grey? Resurrect Jean Grey in that
happy
book.
Happy birthday.
No. No. That's
happy. We'll buy it for you as a present.
I fucking hate you guys. Last bit, I have a little bit of news here. Just sharing with all of our listeners at home, and I know that, Kevin, you were excited about this. Well, and actually all of you guys are, because you're sometimes cheap. Marvel is offering free Guardians of the Galaxy digital comics.
This is something that is a very smart play on Marvel's part to introduce some of these really strange characters. They are pushing a lot of Guardians of the Galaxy, which I personally am happy because it seemed like the last series, it was kind of, you know, gaining momentum, but they just didn't push it enough to where that's why I feel like it kind of ended prematurely. So I'm glad, and obviously a lot of this is for building up of the movies.
Yeah.
That are the movie that's going to be coming out next year, so they really need to pump the comic books and get readers interested in them. So doing these for free is awesome, and these are, each one is like about an 8-page following one of the characters. I think the first one was Drax the Destroyer. And ultimately, it lets listeners see who these characters are.
I mean, here's the thing that I think, and don't get me wrong, I don't know all the economics of how much writers and artists are getting paid, but you make some comics, you put them out there for free, people will gravitate towards free stuff, they'll read them, but now they buy a movie ticket, which is going to cost you $8 to $10 or something. And Marvel's going to be seeing their money on the back end there if they can get enough people to come see Guardian of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So I think it's a smart move.
Yeah, so it's 4 bi-weekly stories, which I never liked the term bi-weekly or bi-monthly because it could mean either every other week or it could be twice a week.
Yeah.
I know you're looking forward to the Rocket Raccoon one, aren't you?
No, not really.
Slowly I will turn you over and you'll like him too.
Yeah, that won't
happen. Deadpool's team up with Rocket Raccoon? Which hasn't happened yet, but I'm sure will happen in the future.
I just want it to be called Roadkill. But, no, it's you can get them through the Marvel app, or you can get them through Comixology. So, there you go, listeners. Don't say we never gave you anything.
One of the things that we mentioned last week, which was one of those Marvel teaser trailers, it was a number one, and it had all these different superhero names listed within the number one.
Black Human.
Yeah.
And the Panther Torch.
I love Panther Torch.
Well, people are still speculating what this is going to be about. Is this going to be a reboot like the New 52? Because they had a lot of names mentioned, comic book heroes in the last one. This week they released one that has a bunch of creators of comic book people.
Writers and artists.
All put in the thing. So,
And they're announcing it at South by Southwest.
This is going to mean, what Marvel number one is.
But isn't South by Southwest typically a music festival?
It's turned into a
South is
culture, like...
Yeah, it's a huge movie festival.
Oh, okay.
Huge.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So anyways...
I'd love to go to Austin.
Still don't know. I still think that they're going to be going over some of these origin stories for new readers. I don't see them rebooting, especially after what they've just done now with all these other books. How the fuck are they going to then, oh yeah, now we're just going to reboot everything?
I don't see them, like, redoing origin stories, but that's just me.
But all these names on here.
Yeah, but all those people are currently working for Marvel.
Stanley?
He's still currently working for Marvel.
He does appearances. He's not writing.
Is Jack Kirby listed in there?
TBA.
No.
No, everybody in there is still current. Okay. So, yeah, that's why I just don't think. Who knows? We'll find out more later. That's all I got, though, for news.
Some John Mark and Cassidy Miller.
Yeah, Cassidy Miller guy. Because of the way they listed.
No, I like this one link that you sent me about the beer and comic festival.
Yeah,
the Denver Comic Con is, and Breckenridge Brewery are going to make a beer called the Fantastic Pour.
No, that was last year's.
Oh, that was last year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I want that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, they talk about, like, though they've got this convention that is coming in, and like they really tie in a beer with it, which I think we need to go visit this. And last year it was the Fantastic Pour, and somebody draws it up, and then it's available all around town during the week of the convention and stuff like that. Pretty sweet.
Yeah, so, I mean, that would be great to go. Man, it would be a busy. It would be a busy May for us.
It would.
All right, that's all the news I got. Let's take a bike ride down the Indy Turnpike.
Cha-ching! Cha-ching!
Why is it going to be a bike ride? Oh, because it's your...
Because we're being green today.
Because it's just... your little brother?
Yes.
We're riding trikes?
Little brother picked a very adult book. Well, it's not too adult, but Helheim from Oni Press, number one. Story by Cullen Bunn, art by Joelle Jones, and Nick Filardi for colors. This book is... I was surprised, you know, it was on the shelf. It looked barbaric. It had Vikings on it. I was like, okay, this will be cool. It gets right in with them running from some unknown horror. These Vikings are trying to get back to their fort, and...
they're running from a horror wench?
Oh, are we back to that? The horrors?
But... you know, they get locked out. We get a nice little battle sequence, which I just thought was really well drawn. I love the use of blues to show how friggin' cold it is in the north. And then the red, the contrast with red is just gorgeous. One of my favorite scenes is he's throwing a knife, and you see, like, the knife still on the page as it's kind of crossing over the lines between the boxes for the art and stuff, as it then implants itself in someone's head. And I thought that Joelle Jones's art is just gorgeous.
Yeah.
When does Thor show up?
He doesn't, because this is Oni Press. And that actually makes it cooler, because there is no god to come and save them all. And in fact, most of them get killed, including the like main guy that you're like, he's the leader of the Vikings. He can't die, right?
What about Shazam?
Shazam's not there either. It's not DC.
Oh, that's not his name either. Sorry.
It is now. So, awesomely, like, the guy dies, and you're like, oh, well, that took an unexpected turn. And then, on, like, the very last page, it turns into this girl turned him into, like, a Frankenstein Viking.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, at first I'm reading this thinking the 13th Warrior, Eaters of the Dead. You've got some unnamed monsters... in the mist that are trying to get you. I'm like, okay, I'm intrigued. And then it turns into Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And I'm like, okay, I can't wait for number two to come out. Yeah. So this is definitely a book to pick up. You'll love the art. The story is great. And I don't always read the extra pages at the back from, like, the editors, mostly because there's a lot of words and not a lot of pictures. But it was definitely worth listening to James Lucas Jones, the editor-in-chief for Oni Press, talking about the pairing here of Cullen and Joelle, or as I should say, Bunn and Jones, as their last names go, that they're just, they go together like your peanut butter's in my chocolate, your chocolate's in my peanut butter, man. It's from that old Reese's commercial. They're just really good together. So, yeah. So go pick that up.
All right, something that I haven't brought to listeners in a while is a random
joy and happiness.
Yes, I give them laughs and
laugh.
Well, you got
the third
bad.
Greatest laughter, or the third greatest present.
Yeah, I feel bad. You've gotten ripped out a lot today, like more than normal.
I set myself up. I am the fall guy. That is what I do. Something that we used to bring up almost once every other week is a website that people, you know, that we find interesting or cool. Or
is this a trip back to the interwebs?
Yes.
Nice.
I forgot what we called it, but yes. I was just going to say, random website. This website is so random and not really used for anything but a quick laugh. I mean, it's pretty much useless, which it's theuselessweb.com. You go to it, you click on the button, it pretty much is one screen that says, take me to a useless website. You click it. It will take you to the far reaches of the internet that you've never knew existed.
My favorite one was ismycomputeron.com, and it just says, and the screen just says yes. Yes.
There was one that was this just this dog just licking the screen that was kind of cute. There was it was a dead fly on its back, and it said, "This fly is dead."
Yeah, it's like, look, a dead fly or yeah. something like that.
Like, you could click on this for forever and go into these random. Some of them are a little like. Flash, they'll play a music or like it'll make the screen change color if you move the mouse. Most of them are just a random question like that. Is my computer on?
Yes, that's my favorite.
It is the most random thing in the world, but you can honestly spend hours just clicking and going to this.
Click one. Just do it.
Yeah, we'll see what.
Hope it doesn't mess up
Ninja
audio.
Flex. It is what looks like an 8-bit ninja and an arm flexing. NinjaFlex.com.
Nice.
There, you guys got a shout out on your website of just the random.
Uh-oh.
Oh. And corn dogs with background music.
So but it sounds more like porn dogs.
So that's your what do we call
interwebs.
This?
Interwebs.
Interwebs of the week.
It was your segment. How do you fucking not remember?
Drinking.
Yeah. All right. Booze in a book. This week for booze in a book, I picked Bob's Your Uncle Premium Bitters.
Bob's Your Uncle?
Yeah.
Bollocks.
Bollocks. Dumbass. this is from Round Bar Brewery in Baroda, Michigan. And this ESB has a 4.8 alcohol by volume. 4.8%, I should say. Now, I'm pairing this with Captain Britain number 8 from Marvel UK. Published in 1976. And this is a weekly magazine-sized publication that was printed entirely on newsprint, including the cover.
Nice.
You know, what's funny is I have Captain Britain number 2.
Really?
Number 2, and I don't no longer have the. It was actually bundled with a boomerang.
Yeah.
That I've since long lost, but. Anyway.
Yeah, so anyway, this is actually the reason that I searched after this one. This has the very first appearance of Betsy Braddock, a.k.a. Psylocke.
Oh.
So.
Is she actually Psylocke?
No, she's Betsy. She's Captain Britain's little sister, Betsy, still has blonde hair before she dyed it purple for the modeling gig and all that. So, now, the phrase, Bob's your uncle, is reportedly a phrase that, and actually I shouldn't say reportedly because we did confirm this last night, but it's a phrase used primarily in British and Commonwealth nations that, from some research I did on the internet, but primarily I just read the bottle, it means something like, there you go, or you're all set, or there you have it. Like a good example of how to use it was they talk about tying a knot. You know, it's like right over left and under, left over right and under, and Bob's your uncle, there's a square knot. So that's kind of an example of how it's used. So now, while the beer is made here in the States, this British book used some of America's top talent, including Sam Lee, Herb Trimpe, a couple other people. But you also, it was written by Londoner Chris Claremont. You know, you've got great amalgamations of both American and British color and culture in both of these books and the beer. And while they're easy to enjoy, they're not so easy to find. So if you can find both, pop a beer. Flip through the pages. Bob's your uncle. It's a great fucking day.
Did you say where it was brewed at?
Baroda, Michigan.
And the company name?
Round Bar Brewery.
Yeah, he said both those.
He said those?
Yeah.
Use your ears, Kevin.
The bigger question is, does anyone know where Baroda, Michigan is?
Oh, God.
Southwest corner. Down by, like, St. Joseph and, what's the other Twin City there?
St. Joe, Benton Harbor.
There you go. St. Joe, Benton Harbor. Right?
Yeah. There's lots of Dorajiak. Right.
Yeah.
Before we end today's podcast, got an announcement of something that we're going to be doing in the next couple of weeks. For those who like basketball, or those who just like stories...
Jocks! Nerds are always called nerds, so I'd make fun of jocks by calling them jocks.
But these are going to be nerds that just like watching March Madness.
All right, nerd jocks.
Ultimately, what we are doing is our own comic character March Madness. Me, Kevin, Derek, and Matt have all picked characters, villains, and superheroes from across the spectrum. And we are pairing them up with a team in March Madness. Whichever team wins in the brackets is going to be the winner of this random superhero brawl. Go to our website, drunkoncomics.com, and after the next day after each basketball game, you're going to see our creative minds come up with a story of why this person won.
He said creative. What he meant to say was drunk.
Yeah. He was stronger.
What's nice about this is, unlike a lot of brackets where people put superheroes up against each other, they'll make the obvious choices of who would win in a fight, and it always comes down to, like, Batman and somebody. But ours is going to be completely random, where you might get someone like Pace Pop Pete beating up Superman. And so what we'll have to do in our drunken stupor is come up with a darn good reason for Pace Pop Pete
darn
winning.
Darn tootin'.
So once they pick the teams for March Madness, I will be pairing up the heroes and villains that we have with the teams, and then...
We'll put the brackets up.
Yeah, we'll put the brackets up on the webpage so that you can track it as
well.
We
might even do it on Twitter and Facebook, too.
Yeah, we'll put it all over the place.
Yeah, you should be following us on both those places anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tony, are you pretty much set on your tournament?
I got what we need right now. I'm just letting listeners know to seriously give us our feedback, too, on some of these. I know that some of these stories, the randomness of these matches that could happen. I mean, it could be hero versus hero. It could be villain versus villain. It all depends on how they go through the tournament and who comes out on top. So,
yeah,
seriously.
I'm actually looking forward to this.
I can't wait to fill out my bracket and hand it in. At work.
with all the superheroes.
I'm gonna hand in a bracket filled with superheroes.
That will be awesome. Actually, you want to know what's great, though, is I would be interested to see, like, when you actually, like, once we fill this out, if you actually just completed your bracket using the teams, but like, all right, but have it based on who the
you
superhero...
You pick the teams based off of the superhero teams.
Paired with it, and watch that fucker win you like $1,000 in an office pool. So, all right, I have to give a huge shout-out to almost, a soon-to-be leaving marketing assistant from Aspen by the name of India, who she has helped us out tremendously. Fantastic young lady, just great in giving us information, press releases, all that kind of stuff. So I just wanted to say thank you to her, you know, on the podcast, because she really did help us out quite a bit, and she's going to be missed quite a bit as well, but best of luck. For those of you not familiar with Aspen, it's Soulfire, what else do we have? I just blanked. Executive Assistance, Cares Magic, you've also got Idolized, you've got all these new books, Journey, which we talked to JT Krull about, that's all coming out. So thank you again, India, really appreciate it. So we got anything last caller, guys?
I got a couple.
Yeah?
One of them, Soulfire, number 4, I think it was.
I don't remember. So, yeah, it's Soulfire, number 3.
Number 3.
Yeah, 4 is coming out here in a couple weeks.
Real interesting. I've never really gotten into a lot of their books before, but it was pretty cool. If you're a fan of the debate between magic and technology, I think they're doing a really fun job of tackling how those things come together.
I don't know why, but I just pictured what the hell was that damn movie with Pedro for president.
Oh, Napoleon Dynamite?
Yeah.
Oh.
At the end, when his brother's singing about how I love technology. sorry.
That's okay. And if you like giant elemental dragons who are going to wreak havoc on the world, I suggest taking a look at Soulfire.
Yeah.
Iron Man Godkiller has turned out to be an interesting Iron Man three-parter. Really not him battling. It's more or less him explaining when he broke up the Phoenix Force in the AVX and trying, I guess they're saying that he's a criminal for it in this
Well, the universe is mad at him for destroying a cosmic being.
Yeah. One other one that I have to shout out.
He didn't destroy it.
He broke it up, but in which case it made it less powerful.
He defiled the god, as it were.
Okay.
Superior Spider-Man, only because of the, after getting pissed off that Oct Spider-Man was eating a lot, and he's like, eating all those carbs and dessert, forget my reputation. When I get my body back.
Yeah, because he doesn't have control of his body.
Because he's a ghost.
No, he's not a fucking ghost. All right, Mara, number three from Image, Brian Wood, Ming Doyle, Jordy Belair. The fucking art in this book is outstanding, but great story as well. I'm loving that, and I'm surprised. I did not expect this story to go where it's going. Bedlam, number five, also from Image, Nick Spencer, Riley Rossmo. Fairy Quest number two from Boom Studios. Fairy Quest Outlaws. It was two of two, but then it's going to be continued in a Fairy Quest something else.
It didn't wrap itself up very well.
No, well, why didn't you just continue it?
Yeah.
You know, but really good story. Snapshot number two, and I didn't even have to hold this one up to the sun. I could still see through the pages. Son of Merlin number two, pretty cool. That was Top Cow. Colder finally finished up on that miniseries. That was a great and terrifying, fucked up series. And hands down, I gotta say it, Mapone, bitches. Daredevil End of Days.
Yeah. What is Mapone?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
But I tell you what, when issue 8 comes out, I'm going on a rant on that son of a bitch. Like, I want to talk about this book every fucking week. It's so damn good.
Jim, I'll allow you to speak more than three words. You got any comic books you read?
Hellboy and Hell, issue 4. Mignola keeps that rampage of telling the best Hellboy story I've ever read.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Pretty impressive.
It's really good. It's
You're done now. Okay. Kevin? It's
possible. The only thing I got to give a shout-out to is Kathy, the Daily Comics.
Yeah.
Ack! that's my only shout out.
Okay. All right, well, I think that pretty much does it for us.
I want to quick give a shout out to the Sir Stephen Blackwell, who...
the
British guy we met last night at the bar.
Yeah.
That guy was awesome.
Yeah, that was fun as hell. And it was funny, the drunker we got, the easier it was to understand him.
Why do you think they always talk that way?
I don't know. Yeah, all right. Well, I think that's pretty much going to do it. We've already mentioned our website, our Facebook, and our Twitter.
But we'll mention it again, our website, our Facebook, and our Twitter.
DrunkOnComics.com, Facebook.com/DrunkOnComics, DrunkOnComics@Twitter.com.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Bob's your uncle.
And Bob's your uncle. So, all right, guys. I'm Derek.
I'm Tony.
I'm Matt.
That guy. Kevin.
Hi. And?
Jim.
We are Drunk on Comics.
Yes, so keep reading those comic books. Come on back next week. We'll talk about them all again then.
Bullocks.
Oh, Bob's mom.